Well, let's pray as we open God's word together. Lord, we do just come before you this morning. As we come before your word, Lord, we pray that you would open it up to us, that you would speak to us, that you would encourage us, correct us, train us, and even rebuke us, so that we might become more and more the people that you want us to be. And we ask this in your name. Amen. Now, I'm not sure how many of you are aware, but 500 years ago, there was a man called Martin Luther. You remember Martin Luther? He was a man who nailed 95 theses or 95 topics onto a door of a church in Wittenberg, where he began to understand and realize that what the church was teaching at that time was not in line with what the Bible was teaching. So in the end of October, the 31st of October, going into the 1st of November, that is seen as the 500th anniversary of the beginning of the church as we know today, of what we would call the Reformed Church. What our plan is as a church now is to remind ourselves of these things that have taken place, so that we don't forget where we've come from, so that we can understand what it is that we truly believe, so that when we are questioned on our faith, we can give an answer to those who ask. As many of you know, our denomination changed names a few years ago from the Church of England in South Africa to the Reformed Evangelical Anglican Church of South Africa. Now, I'm not sure how many of you know what all that is about. So the next 2 weeks, we're going to pick up two of those phrases within our denomination's name, Reformed and Evangelical. Today we're going to have a look at what it means to be an evangelical Christian. And next week, Tony's going to unpack for us what it means to be a Reformed Christian. So do look at that and pray about that. Once we've looked at those topics, then we're going to look at some of the finer details of what we believe as Reformed Evangelical Christians, as we head up to Reformation Sunday on the 1st of November, or thereabouts. So let's get stuck in. I've entitled our series Essential Belief, because this is really what holds us true as Christians. And this morning, as I've said, what is an evangelical? What do we believe as evangelical Christians? I've had people tell me that an evangelical Christian is just a Christian who goes out and tells other people about the gospel. In other words, an evangelist. Now, that is partly correct, but that is not all what an evangelical Christian is. An evangelical Christian is bigger than just being an evangelist. And I've got four headings that I want to chat about this morning, and which just help us to understand this a little bit more. Firstly, and my first heading this morning is One God Revealed. An evangelical Christian is a Christian who believes that God has revealed himself to us. You might ask, how is that possible? Because no one can see God and live. But have a look here, and I've chosen Deuteronomy 6 because I think it's a great chapter, and there are many other portions that we could have turned to this morning, and we will turn to one or two of them. But I want us to focus on Deuteronomy 6 this morning. How does Moses begin this chapter? Notice what he says here. These are the commands and decrees and laws the Lord your God has directed me to tell you, has directed me to teach you and to observe. And then he goes on. Of course, the previous chapter, chapter 5, he's just given the Israelites the Ten Commandments. But here in chapter 6, he tells us that God told him to say these things. In other words, God is not an invisible God that is hidden from us. God has spoken to, in this case, Moses, and given him some instruction that he is to tell to us. He also gives us instruction not only of who God is, but how we, if we follow God, should live. God also, in the rest of the Bible, tells us how he operates with the righteous, with the wicked, and what he does for each one of those. Moses also tells us here, and he says in verse 4, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." In other words, he's telling us that God is a single entity. Although he is three persons, in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, he is one God. Not three different gods that do the same thing, but one God who enacts himself or portrays himself in three different characters. Part of being an evangelical is understanding this. So, firstly, God reveals himself in the Bible. And you will see that there, the first sub-point to this, God reveals himself in the Bible. Keep your finger in Deuteronomy. Turn with me to 2 Timothy in the New Testament, the back of the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 3. You might know this section off by heart anyway. It's a well-known section. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. This is Paul speaking thousands of years after Moses was around. And Paul says this about the Bible in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. He says, "All Scripture," Scripture there being another word for the Bible, "is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." Friends, an evangelical Christian understands this about the Bible. They see the Bible as being breathed by God. In other words, spoken. I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but if you're ever in a cold climate and you talk, your breath condenses as you speak. That's what's implied here. As God speaks, he breathes his word. An evangelical Christian holds true to what the Bible says. We don't pull the Bible apart and say, "Oh, God wouldn't have said that. That's not God." We don't analyze the Bible and say, "Oh, geez, really, no, that couldn't be true. God is not like that." We take the Bible for what it says. Of course, we do analyze and we do go into things and we do study the Bible. But if we don't understand it, we don't throw it out. We do more work to try and understand it because the Bible is from God. Now, hopefully that's nothing new to each one of us sitting here this morning. Hopefully we all do understand that the Bible is truly God's word. But friends, in our society that we live in, there are many churches that do not believe that the Bible is the true word of God. They only take portions of it that they like. And they only preach those little bits. But as an evangelical Christian, our focus is on the Bible. What the Bible says, and not just certain portions of the Bible, the bits we like, the uncomfortable bits too. The bits that tell us that we are sinners. The bits that tell us we must stop doing those things. The bits that tell us what God will do with those who disobey him. All of it is God-breathed. And friends, that's why as a church we spend so much time in the Bible. We might be accused of never doing anything else other than working with the Bible. But that, friends, is what an evangelical church does. We spend time in the Bible because God has revealed Himself to us in the Bible. So when last have you and I picked up our Bibles? When last have you and I spent time in the Bible? Asking the question, who is God? How has God revealed Himself to us? Or do we just pull the Bible off the shelf on a Sunday morning when we come to church, blow the dust off it, and come along? Do you see how important this book is? It is God's word to us. It is God revealing Himself to us. But God hasn't only revealed Himself to us in the Bible. God revealed Himself to us by becoming part of history. And my second sub-point here is God revealed through Jesus. Evangelical Christians believe that God took it upon Himself to rescue us from our sinful natures, and that He stepped down from heaven into our fallen and sinful world to save us. You remember the incident where Thomas, one of Jesus' disciples, was questioning Jesus, "How do we know God?" Which is a question that many of us ask today. Well, one answer is, go to the Bible. And Jesus' answer here in John chapter 14, verse 6 and 7, Jesus says, "I am the way to the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me," this is Jesus speaking, how does he finish that off? "You would know my Father as well." The way that we come to know God, the way that God has revealed Himself to us, is not just through a whole book, but is through a person, Jesus Christ. In other words, the way to know God is to know Jesus. And as evangelicals, that is what we accept and believe. Our one God, who is three persons, reveals Himself to us in the Bible and through Jesus. If you or I deny either of those two elements, then I say that you are not a true Christian. If you don't believe that the Bible is the very words of God, if you're trying to pull the Bible apart and say, Jesus would never have said that, or God couldn't have said that, or done that, then we are not accepting God for who He is. If I don't believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sin, or if I believe that Jesus is just one of many ways in which we can get to God, then I am denying the very being of who God is. A true evangelical Christian believes these things, understands that God reveals Himself to us through the Bible, through Jesus. But there's more to being an evangelical Christian than just knowing what the Bible has to say and seeing God in the person of Jesus. Because Moses continues in Deuteronomy chapter 5 and verse 6, if you want to turn back there to Deuteronomy chapter 5. And my second comment this morning is that we have one God to follow. So one God revealed through the Bible and through Jesus, and one God to follow. Notice here what Moses tells us. In fact, this is God speaking. And Moses tells us in verse 5 of chapter 6 in Deuteronomy, he says, "Love the Lord your God." Okay, I don't think we have a problem with that. We love God. We love things. But notice what he adds to that. Love the Lord your God how? With part of your heart? With all your heart. And not just with your heart, with all your soul. And not just with your soul, but all your strength. And friends, that's where we have the problem, isn't it? We've got no problem saying, oh, well, God is this one, and then we've got that one, and then we've got these things that we can love. But a true evangelical Christian says, I love the Lord my God with all my heart, all my soul, and all my strength. And then Moses goes on to say, these commandments I give you today are to be upon your hearts. See, an evangelical Christian understands and believes that every part of our life is to be God's, not ours. It's the idea that if we think that we can worship God and something or someone else, then we are not a true Christian. The Bible says, worship God, love God with all. Which means that if I'm worshiping God and I'm still worried about my ancestors, if I'm worshiping God and adding something to Him, if I'm worshiping God and, well, I can't give Him all my time, then we are not doing what God has told us to do. We are not loving God with all my strength and soul and heart. We have one God, and we are to follow our one God. Trouble is, though, that we tend to give God part of our life, isn't it? The parts that we enjoy doing, perhaps watching sport or playing sport, perhaps being with family, perhaps making money, or our time, our relaxation time. We don't give to God, do we? God, you can have it, but if I wake up in time. God, you can have my time, but just not while the rugby's on. God, you can have my time, but I've first got to spend time with my family. Or when I've made enough money, God, then you can have my time. When I've finished my homework, when I'm done with my studies, God, then you can have it. Is that what the Bible is saying here? He says, love the Lord your God with all. That means all our time, all our heart, all our everything. Now, don't get me wrong, it's not wrong to study, it's not wrong to watch rugby, it's not wrong to go for a surf. But if it interferes with my walk with the Lord, then we need to watch out. If spending time with my family means that I'm not going to go to church or I'm not going to read the Bible, then we need to work things out so that we can spend time in God's Word. Moses also tells us here that our worship of God is not to be in isolation either. We are not individual Christians. We are corporate Christians. In other words, Christians who gather together. And just notice here, and I'll come back to this in a later point, but in verse 7 he says, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk and so on. In other words, it's the idea that what we have from God needs to be shared together. Now, it speaks there of family. And the New Testament tells us that we are God's family, which means that we need to be engaging with one another in the words of God, that we need to be reminding ourselves of God's Word. They use the little illustration here. Tie them as symbols around your wrists and on your foreheads and write them on your door frames. Now, we might not do all those things today, but We might put a verse or two up in our house to remind us of God's love, God's protection. Some people wear wristbands to remind us, you know, WWJD, what would Jesus do? A while ago, you remember when we had the Open Doors guys here, we got those little wristbands with the barbed wire on them to help us to remember those out that were suffering for God. And friends, we need to get together. We need to remind one another. Part of the reason of church, from an evangelical point of view, is to encourage one another to go out and live for Christ in the rest of the week. So if we're not coming to church, or we're only coming to church when we've got the time, can you see how things can go downhill quite quickly? So a true evangelical Christian recognizes the importance of obedience to the Word of God. Now, of course, none of us are perfect. We all do mess up. We all try to do things in our own strength. But this is where, as an evangelical, we also understand, in my third comment, that we have one God who helps us. None of us are perfect. We all sin. I mean, just speak to your spouse about whether you are perfect. Speak to your children, or children, speak to your parents about whether you think them as perfect or not. But God helps us. Now, although Moses doesn't touch on this issue here in this passage in Deuteronomy, there are many, many places in the Bible that speak about God helping us. One such place is John 16. John 16, verse 13 and 14, where Jesus, in chatting with his disciples, he's talking about the helper that will come when he leaves. When he, Jesus says, the Spirit of Truth comes, notice what the Spirit of Truth, which we know today as being the Holy Spirit, notice what he does. He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me, Jesus, by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. So yes, none of us are perfect. We're all sinners. And as evangelical Christians, we believe and understand that. But we also know that we have the Holy Spirit with us, helping us, guiding us, telling us the truth, so that we can bring glory to God, and so that God can be known to us. Unfortunately, some churches only emphasize the Holy Spirit. And it's all about the Holy Spirit, and they forget about Jesus. Or they forget about God the Father. As evangelical Christians, we should be focused on all three. God, who reveals himself to us both in the Bible and through his Son, Jesus. God, who is there and helping us through the Holy Spirit. Helping us to live for him, so that when we do sin against God, we are reminded of that through the Holy Spirit. We come to God and confess our sins. And that's, friends, what the evangelical Christian believes. Again, if we deny the work of the Holy Spirit, then are we a true evangelical Christian? Because our God is one. But last comment. Not only do we have one God who's revealed to us, not only do we have one God to follow, not only do we have one God who helps us, but we have one God to talk about. And back into Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7. In fact, throughout this whole passage, in verse 7 he says, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads and write them on your door frames and your houses and on your gates. But he also says in verse 2, that he's telling them these things so that your children and their children, in other words, your grandchildren, or we could add your great-grandchildren, after them, after you, may fear the Lord. The idea here in Deuteronomy is that when we have understood for ourselves who God is, when we've read the Bible and realized what kind of person the Lord is, how He judges the wicked, how He rescues those who turn to Him, we cannot keep that for ourselves. Part of being an evangelical Christian is telling others about Christ. In Deuteronomy 6, this is primarily related to families. So teach them to your children. And notice when we teach them to the children. Not just at a set point in the week. Oh, well, it's the church's job to teach our children about Jesus, so we'll bring them to Sunday school. Notice what he says here. As parents, as grandparents, as great-grandparents, we are to teach them to our children when you walk along the road. Or in today's language, when we drive to school in the car. We are to teach our children and our grandchildren when we get up in the morning. When we lie down at night. In other words, the idea is that we're not teaching our children just at a set moment. Okay, guys, here's what happens with Jesus. Now we're putting that box away. We're going to pack it away like we would pack the Lego away. And then we carry on with life. That's not what Moses is talking about here. That's not what the Bible talks about. We're teaching all the time. Perhaps like a good homeschooling parent who would educate their children as they walk down the street. You see this blade of grass? Weren't we learning about that grass earlier on this week as we learnt about different leaf shapes and so on? We are doing that with the Bible. But of course, as evangelical Christians, we are not limited just to our families. We are to share the Word of God in a humble and loving way with those out in our society. So friends, an evangelical Christian is not just an evangelist, but someone who takes the Word of God as the gospel truth, someone who listens to it, applies it to their lives, lives according to it, and is given the Holy Spirit to help us with it. So my question to all of us this morning is, do we believe these things? Do we take the Bible to be the true Word of God? Do we believe that God has indeed revealed Himself to us in the Bible? Do we believe that God, that we can know God through Jesus? Perhaps you're doubting that. Or maybe you want to come and chat to me or one of the other leaders in the church and ask us a question about that. Do you believe that you should give your whole life to the Lord Jesus? Or are you perhaps keeping portion of it for yourself? What about the Holy Spirit? Do we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives? Or do we shut Him down and say, no, you can't have this area of my life? Friends, there's some serious questions here. And you need to think about them. Where are you standing in this? Can you call yourself an evangelical Christian? A Christian who believes the Word of God? Christian who believes God revealed Himself to us. Friends, let's pray and ask God to help us. Lord, we do just thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the great reminder from Your Word of who You are. That as evangelical Christians, Lord, we uphold Your Word and believe it to be true, even when we don't always understand it. Thank You, Lord, for revealing Yourself to us. Thank You, Lord, for revealing Yourself to us not only through Your Word, but through Your Son as well. Lord, help us to follow You with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and not just select parts of it. But help us also, Lord, through Your Holy Spirit, that we might live for You. so that, Lord, we have this amazing message so that we can tell it to others, whether it be our own family members or whether it be our work colleagues or neighbors. Help us to talk about you. And we ask this in your name. Amen.